Well, good evening and welcome to a very special edition of the NMF podcast in association with BeheadClothing.co.uk. Now tonight, we are blessed to have the classically trained and extremely talented young lady that is Julia Violinista, and she'll be taking her violin and turning it in to handle some Britpop classics. All that to come on the NMF podcast with me, Dennis Devlin, in association with BeheadClothing.co.uk. But first, three songs in a row, back to back, with this.
Yeah. words. I know it's better. I'll live with this forever. I know that it's not much. I needed you more.
There you go, three great songs in a row, back to back. Where else but on the NMF podcast with me, Dennis Devlin, in association with BeheadClothing.co.uk. Coming up after the break, it's that amazingly talented Julia Violinista. That's with me after the break.
You're listening to the NMF podcast with Dennis Devlin.
Good morning and welcome to the NMF podcast in association with BeheadClothing.co.uk, and a very warm welcome to Julia. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning, Dennis. Hello.
It's a pleasure to have you on. How are you today?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you. Your waiting room that you gave me was so lovely. It made me feel like I was going to a meditation class or something, so I feel very well.
It's just something I started recently. I thought it's nice to kind of imagine you in a green room, I suppose, there, and kind of make you feel relaxed and prepared for the show. So I kind of like that, and it's kind of feedback a bit. So that's really nice. Thank you, Julia.
Yeah.
we'll not waste any time. We'll crack on. I don't know what the weather's like for you. It's not exactly charming this morning for myself.
No, it's a bit. Well, I think because of the eclipse, it's a bit dark and a bit strange. So I'm hoping the sun will come out later and it'll get warm again. But it's a bit weird here. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm waiting for summer, you see, and it seems to have passed me by now again. It seems to be just the way the British is. Although we are notorious in Britain of saying when we complain about the weather, we say, oh, all it does is rain. Then when the sun comes, all we do is complain it's too hot.
Oh, I know. We're never happy, are we?
Well, Julia, I'll start firstly. It's amazing what you do. Oh. And would you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you?
Of course. Well, what do you want to know? I'm a violinist, as people will know from my videos that I put up online, and it started last year. My passion for Britpop and indie has been quite late coming, actually, because I'm classically trained. So when I was younger, I was more into, you know, the likes of Beethoven and Mozart and Haydn and all those classics. So whilst my brother was listening to all the Radiohead and the Oasis and all that sort of lovely indie music, I didn't really have an ear for it or a passion. So I'm really enjoying kind of delving into all that now and you know, making my arrangements. But what I do is I choose my, you know, my favorite Indian Britpop songs, and I'm arranging them for multiple violins. And then I write all the individual parts, and then I record all the parts over each other to create this sort of symphonic sort of version of popular songs. So that's really what I'm doing.
Yeah, and it's amazing. I mean, I'll come to the Britpop shortly. Mm. I'm a massive fan of a HBO program called Band of Brothers.
Yeah.
And does the music, and I come across your version of Band of Brothers, and it took my heart away. It swept me off my feet. It was amazing.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, I did that for my dad because he and my brother got me into that show, and it's the most moving show. I love it. And I could watch it again and again. And the music for it is just so, as you say, it's so moving. And it just, you know, luckily all the songs I've chosen have lent themselves really well to the violin, because some of them I pick and I think, oh, is this really going to work? You know, how's it going to sound? But that one especially, it just, yeah, it does sound beautiful. I love doing that one.
Yeah, I'm a massive Band of Brothers fan. I spent time over in Normandy. I met some of them in Normandy, so I was quite lucky.
Oh, really?
I did, yeah. I felt quite blessed, you know. I was, felt it was amazing. And then, of course, we hear the Skylights. Nothing left to say. Julia, can you get any better?
Oh, no. Well, no. I mean, just listening in the green room just now and hearing my version again, it just reminded me how much I love that song. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the lads at Skylight are very pleased with it. They love showing it. And it sort of took off. It's gone wild on Twitter, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has a bit. I mean, it's sort of taken my breath away a little bit. I didn't know what to expect coming into all this. And, you know, it's quite a risk, especially with current bands, because they're all around. And making cover versions, it can be quite risky because, you know, often it will never sound as good as the original. And I've just been, I feel so lucky and fortunate that I've had such a positive response. And the support from the bands that I'm doing, current bands as well, and the Britpop and the indie bands. I've been so lucky that everyone's been so supportive of my music, and so yeah, I do. I feel very lucky, and to be able to connect with them as well is amazing.
Yeah, social media definitely helps that way. And obviously, we have the Britpop Classics, your new album. Wow!
Yes.
Tell me about putting that together. That must have been so much fun.
It was fun. You know, I have to give credit to a new Twitter friend of mine called Mick, who's just been really, he's been so supportive, and he actually did help me quite a bit in choosing my track list, because when I first sent it over, I think it was a bit top heavy on the Oasis, and So he sort of introduced me to a lot of different songs and said that variety is the key. So I've really taken that on board, and it was so fun putting it together, and I managed to put it together in a week. And the thing is, when I get into something, I just want to do it. You know, I get so eager and passionate about something, I just, you know, just get on with it. And so it was incredible. And I'm just, again, I'm over the moon with the response I've had and the support. And yeah, it's been great.
Yeah, it's been critically acclaimed. It's outstanding. You know, most people really enjoy it, and clearly we can expect something from the future. What have you got in the pipeline?
I know. Well, I'm hoping for a Britpop Classics 2, I think, because there's so many good songs out there. So I want to do another follow-up album, and then just go, you know, keep going. Maybe do some albums through the decades, and an indie album as well, and then release some singles as I go along the way, like I did with Darkness Falls, the other Skylight song. Yeah. So I might do the other Skylight song that we were just listening to. I might release that one as a single, and yeah, so just keep on keeping on, as they say.
Yeah, sounds like an exciting time ahead. Obviously, you're a graduate of the Royal Academy of Music. How was that, and what was that like? That must have been fun, fantastic.
It was. It was, you know, my time at the Academy was unforgettable, and it was so precious to me because I learned so much, and my teacher there was just so, so wonderful. And you know, a place like a music college is very, very intense, and you're bundled together with other people that are better than you and you know, competitive, and so there's a lot of stress involved as well. So I don't know, it has its ups and downs, but ultimately it carved out my career for me, really. So I'm very thankful to the Academy for what they did for me.
And when you graduated from there, what happened next with you? Where did we go from the Academy of Music?
I was in a band actually with a singer, and his brother wrote songs, so I think I was in a quartet, and we played along with the singer and a pianist and put a band together. So we went on tour actually, and I did that for a while, and then I joined another band called Afro Symphony, which was very cool. And then, you know, being a musician, it's about building bricks, building blocks and putting them on top of each other. And so it's been quite a varied career so far. And I perform with the BBC Symphony Orchestra as well and the Bournemouth Orchestral work. And then I teach as well, so I bundle it all together and create a career out of it. And it's, I have to say, it's really fun. It has its challenges, but it's very varied, and I love that.
Yeah, you're definitely moving at pace, that's for sure, especially through the social media side of things. And obviously you're gathering a lot of fans. If you had one message to the fans, what would you say to your fans?
Oh gosh, that's putting me on the spot. What should I say? I really just would love to thank them all, because I've had nothing but positivity and support from all of my followers out there. And to be honest, they've given me a lot of inspiration. They're the ones that come to me and say, "Oh, could you do this? And this would sound great." And so I'm really grateful to them actually for everything that they're doing for me. They're brilliant.
Looking at the Britpop side of things, what's your favourite one to perform? Which one do you perform and think, "Oh, I like that. I really enjoy that."
Gosh. There's so many. The thing is, what happens is I do one and then I record it and I put it out and I think, "Oh, that was brilliant. Like, I love doing that." So the Stone Roses one, for example, I love doing that. So at the moment, that's like a favourite because I've just done it. But then tomorrow I might do another one and go, "Oh, that's now my favourite." Because they're all so good. I do love the movie music though, so like you, Band of Brothers, I know that's not Britpop, but I love movie music, but then there's the modern music like Skylights that I'm loving. It's really hard. Radiohead are brilliant as well.
Oh, amazing, absolutely fantastic. You're right, there is a lot of music out there. I mean, you say like music from the movies, for instance, I think of Schindler's List, I think of stuff like that, and what's that one, Tom Hanks, where the beach, World War II movie, Finding Saving Private Ryan, the music from that, and I like a lot of John Williams stuff, so, it conjures, when I hear you, it conjures up memories of that kind of music, and obviously I really enjoyed your Band of Brothers. However, there is a particular phone ring or something.
Yes, I go days and people, I don't get too many calls, and then suddenly...
It's okay. I guess straight away I thought, phone's rang. I'll just wait to bring it back in. I obviously, one of the things I want to talk about is wants to live forever. Now, it's a very important song to a lot of people, especially to me.
Right.
Why that particular Queen one?
What for me? I am the biggest Freddie Mercury fan. I love Queen and his music. He was such an advocate of classical music, and my mum used to play it when I was little. So I kind of grew up listening to him. And I think this was actually a request from a Twitter follower of mine who said, "Oh, could you do this one?" And I was a bit hesitant because it's so moving and it's quite a sad song. So I didn't know what kind of reception it would get. Sorry, excuse me. But yeah, so I put it out there and people love it, which I'm grateful for. Why is it special to you, Dennis?
It conjures memories of when I was younger, going through a difficult time, and obviously during that period I'd heard this song and it blew my mind away, and it sort of made me feel a little bit stronger inside, if that kind of makes any sense.
Yes.
It made me a little better of a lift, so it's a really important song to me, and I've heard a lot of people say it's a, obviously when we look at what happened to Freddie and you hear that song, you're wondering, is he telling us his own little tale there? Obviously we know it's for the movie, a particular movie, then McLeod and that, but I often wonder when he wrote that, was he talking about himself?
I know, you do, you kind of, we look back on Freddie's life, don't we, and it's kind of tinted with a bit of sadness, and I think that the thing with my music, what I do is I take the lyrics out, obviously, so it gives a different take on a song.
It does.
Yeah.
And you get to feel it a lot more. Because those are the lyrics, you're going along with them lyrics, but when you don't have them lyrics, you're just listening to the music, and the music, you're feeding off the music, and the music becomes a vibe, and you have your own, it sort of creates your own sort of little storyline in your head with the music.
Yeah, that's such a nice way of looking at it. Yeah, I haven't thought of it that way, but yeah, it gives you the freedom, doesn't it, to think about your own memories and your own story to it. So Yeah, it's a special song.
Do you feel that there should be a little bit more classical music in the old Britpop scene? Because I think so. I think there's a lot out there we could be done.
Well, yes. I mean, I think violin should be in everything.
Yeah.
Well, to be honest, I love the sound. I'm collaborating with a few bands at the moment, and which again, I'm so thankful for Twitter for kind of conjuring that up for me. But it's such a nice kind of it's really a nice connection to make with a band. And when you put strings into bands, it softens it in a way, and it just gives this other texture to a song. So I think a lot of bands do enjoy playing with classical musicians as well. So I'm enjoying exploring that, you know, that new kind of the new projects I have going.
Yeah, I was going to say, looking at the future, I was going to ask, is there anyone you'd like to collaborate with? You know, have you had any, you know, exciting opportunity to collaborate, and with whom?
Well,
what can you expect in the future? Come on, give us
some thoughts. dish the dirt. Well, I hope I can say, but Skylights, I'm hoping I can play with them live at some point, because Turnbull Smith, who's been such a supporter of mine, and you know, and is kindly lending me his songs to use and record, I've struck up a nice connection with him, so I'm hoping that in the future we could maybe work together. And there's another Britpop band called Electricity. I don't know if you know of them. They were around in the 90s, and I'm collaborating with them as well for their next album. So that's
cool.
And that's really interesting, because they're all dotted round different continents. So we're sort of recording bits and passing it round, you know, the world, and layering it up that way. So that's interesting. I mean, yeah, just see what comes along, really. I'm open to collaborations. I love working with people. So we'll see what comes.
Wow. And have you performed live and done a gig?
Not on my own. You know, that would be a dream. I'd love to do that. You know, my ability to kind of work technical things is improving, I have to say, because I have a Patreon site, and for my patrons, I'm trying to set up a live stream concert. So I haven't told anybody this yet, actually, but I've bought a projector, and I've now got a microphone, all that set up, and I'm hoping to be able to do a live stream concert, but to somehow show my videos so that people can see that, you know, I'm doing all the parts.
Wow.
It's a really cool concept. So I'm looking forward to trying that out.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's, do you remember this? There's another famous violinist I remember called, is it Vanessa May?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I remember Vanessa May, yeah.
Do you think that's kind of, she's a different sort of genre, or is kind of similar?
Do you know what I love about all these electric violinists? I mean, that's the biggest difference, I suppose, because I do have an electric violin. I haven't brought it out just yet because I do like the sound of the acoustic instrument. So that's, I guess, the biggest difference between us. And she used backing tracks that were more electric. And so I think that's the difference. I'm using it all acoustic, and I'm doing it all myself as well. So it's just me playing everything, which is, I guess, is a selling point, is different. But I love that we're kind of, I think all these electric violinists and violinists that are bringing popular music, you know, to classical styles, is really bringing a different audience to classical music as well. And maybe people that wouldn't necessarily listen to classical music, but because we're playing the songs that they know, you know, they're really enjoying it. So hopefully it's, yeah, widening people's horizons, like it is with me and my Britpop, you know.
Yeah, definitely. But what's your support been like from family and friends?
Oh, amazing. My family are just wonderful. They you know, they've got me to where I am today, I have to say, because they, you know, I started when I was six, and I came home and I said to my mum, oh, I want to play the violin, mum, and she's like, oh, are you sure? Don't you want to do the piano? Because the piano's easier, and it's like, you know, it sounds nice from the get-go. But I was set on it. So they used to traipse me up an hour away for my music lessons every week, every Monday evening, and we'd drive an hour for my hour long lesson. And they've just been amazing. They've sort of helped me make my path, as it were. Yeah, it's been great. And my dad sits down and he gives me inspiration. You know, he writes down songs. He says, oh, I think this would be good for an album. And he gives me, you know, lists of 60s classics or 70s classics. You know, it's brilliant. I have to mention my lovely husband, because he as well, he's such a Britpop and indie fan. So he's been giving me so many ideas. So yeah, he's been brilliant as well. And they let me just, you know, hide away in my little recording room and get on with things. So yeah, they've been brilliant.
If you could open a show for anyone, who would you like to open a show for? Who would be like, wow, I'd like to open a show for them?
Oh wow. Well, the people that I've made connections with actually on Twitter. Shed 7, I put Chasing Rainbows out a while ago, and it's on my album. And Rick Witter really kindly got in touch and played, he liked my version, so he played me on his show. And then Steve Craddock also got in touch with me from OCS because he liked my version of their song. And Mark Morris from the Blue Tone. So these players that have made, you know, that have reached out to me and have been so supportive, I'd love to like meet them and, you know, get to meet them in person and open for them. That would be amazing.
Wow, yeah. Imagine on a show with Skylights. That would be amazing.
Oh, I know. That would be really
amazing, cool. Aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Skylights are amazing. Are you big fans of Skylights?
I am, yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping to get them on with them shortly on the podcast, all going well.
Oh yes, get them on there. Yeah, they're lovely. I love their music. They're amazing. Yeah.
Do you admire any? Is there any famous musicians you admire, or any other bands, and why?
Bands and musicians. Well, thing is, because I'm classical, classically trained. You know, the people I looked up to when I was younger were all classical violinists, like Maxime Vengerov and all these big names, you know, and Anne-Sophie Mutter and all these people. But now I'm sort of changing my outlook. So I'm sort of looking at bands for inspiration more than those big names, violinists. I'm not quite sure yet. You have to leave me with that one, because I just listen to all the bands and I've got such an appreciation for them all now that they're all sort of, I look up to them all, to be honest, you know. And they're all still going. It's amazing. You know, like OCS are going out, Shed 7 are going out. It's amazing what they're doing. So I just hope that in years to come I can still be doing that and making my music and enjoying it, and you know.
Well, John Williams says classical music lives forever.
Oh, John Williams, yeah, amazing. Yeah,
absolutely amazing.
Yeah. You know your stuff, Dennis. You're really good at it.
I do a little bit of noisy here and there. You know, I like a little bit of classical myself, and obviously I'll pick out the bits and bobs that I like, you know, and it does it for me. I do like a lot of the movie stuff. You know, I'm obviously a massive fan of John Williams. And, other named brands, I suppose we could call within the musical industry of movies. I quite like, you know. I think if a soundtrack catches my eye and catches my ear, even Interstellar, the music from Interstellar really got me. Hans Zimmer and all that gets me, and you know, I'm a big Jean-Michel Jarre fan, so I like so much different stuff, you know. So
yeah. Yeah. It's good to have an eclectic taste, because you can pick bits out from a lot of different styles, and you know, you don't have to be a real lover of it to appreciate it either. So
no, exactly, no.
Yeah.
Stuart Wolfenden brought a song out called Clay on his album, and when I first heard it, the opening part to that is violins. You can listen to it, you need to listen to Stuart Wolfenden, called Clay, and it's the opening straight into it. You bring these violins in, and he said to me when I talked to him that he walked into the studio and there was just an orchestra sitting there, and it blew him away. He never expected that. But when you put it on the track, it brings your track to life. You know, sometimes people forget. It's great having electric guitars and banging drums, but a little bit of classical in there, a little bit of violin, you know, goes a long, long way.
Yeah, it does. It does add something. Yeah, different texture.
What's the best advice you've been given? And by whom?
The best advice, you mean ever?
Yeah, so who's giving? I mean, you've gone through the Royal Academy of Music. There's always I'm on. You can name drop their work. I'm sure you've met some amazing
name drop. I was going to say my dad.
Well, is that the best advice? And it's from your dad, and why wouldn't it be? You know, if that's the advice that's best to you.
Well, I think, you know, he did, because my dad has come from a businessy background and an entrepreneur. He built up a business, and he said to me, is narrow-minded the right word? Don't just focus on one element in music. You need to sort of widen your horizons and build a career doing lots of different things, you know. So unless you're going to be a top soloist where you really have to focus on that and do that solely, then you can piece different bits together. And you know, like I said earlier, really like the teaching and the performing and the selling the music and the, you know, this and that. So I've really taken that on board. And for me, that's been really, precious. And I've done well with that, I think. And then in terms of creating my music, I think variety has been a good bit of advice, to keep the variety and not just do one, you know, one band or one style. Yeah. To just do a whole load of things. So
variety is the spice of life, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, very true.
Who would you like to thank? If this you want to thank someone, who would you like to thank? Who could you say thank you to, who helped you along the way?
Well, I've thanked my family, because they're the biggest. My brother as well. He's amazing. He's an American. He has all the vinyls of all these songs that I'm doing. So I've been rifling through all of his collection and getting ideas.
No! I know. Be careful.
I know. He'll see things have gone missing. No. Going back, I would like to thank my teachers, because they've obviously made me who I am, in a sense, in my violin, and my ability and all that. That goes back to my teachers. But currently, on Twitter, I'd like to say thank you to Mick, as I mentioned him earlier. But he's been such a support and a real inspiration, and has given me so many ideas, and he's sort of helped guiding me, a kind of, you know, along the way, because he's very involved in like the current music scene, so he knows what's out and the new bands that are coming out, and so he's introducing me to a lot of those new current bands, so I'm really grateful to him. So him, really, and you for reaching out, and you know, my Twitter followers. No, I'm so grateful to come on here and for you to find me and want to chat to me, and you know,
I like all different kinds of music, and the people sometimes might think the podcast is just for indie bands and stuff. It's not. It's for a general music, you know. It's for new music. To open folks' minds and hopefully their ears to new stuff, you know. So, yeah, it's great to have you on. As soon as I saw that, I thought, yeah, I'll have a chat with this. This sounds amazing. We'll have a little bit of classical education, culture brought to the podcast.
Funny. Where did you see my Banded Brothers then? Was that the one that caught your eye?
I think it was on your YouTube? No, I think it was on Instagram, I think it was. And it just, obviously, like, I'm a big Band of Brothers fan, you know, and obviously it's Tom Hanks and Spielberg and co, and to throw that together, it's just amazing. And then
I do love it. Can I name drop a little bit? Because I was
You can name drop as much as you want.
I don't like to, but this was so cool. So I put it out and I tagged David Schwimmer in it, and he messaged me and he listened and he loved it, and I thought, wow, you
know? Lieutenant Sobo.
I know. I thought that was very cool. So then subsequently, when the Friends reunion came out, so I did a cover of the Friends song, and I sent that to him as well. I tagged him in that, and he came back again and he liked that. So I thought, oh, you know, I've got a little connection with you now.
Yeah, it's all right. It's David, actually. You know, he's got an excellent reputation of being very approachable. You know, I was very lucky. I met quite a few of them over in Normandy, you know, and Dick Winters. They were in a, it was like a, I think it was like the 50 or 60 or something anniversary thing, and Dick Winters was there, and obviously some of the cast and crew were there. You know, it was just,
amazing.
It was totally awesome. And I've been there, I've been to Barston, and I've sort of toured around a bit. So yeah, it's an amazing story, you know, it's beautifully written. And obviously when you've got the likes of Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg behind you as well, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be good.
I know, it's going to be great. And I think, you know, talking of Normandy, because obviously the it's just passed, hasn't it, the memorial.
Yes, that's right.
It's just so important to not forget it, isn't it? And I think everyone should go to the beaches and be there and like immerse themselves in that history and that, you know, that time, just to remember everybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful walk. You can literally walk from Utah right down to Juneau and Sword. You can literally have a wee day. You don't have to feel like you're under any pressure. You can just walk along the tops, walk along the beaches, you know. Mm. I've walked it all the way along, and I think when I get to Utah, I know my beach, I just horrible memories.
Yeah.
You know, the sacrifice on them beaches, you know. But it's so peaceful and so beautiful there. It's mad.
I know. It's funny, isn't it? Because then you see the footage and the photos of what it was like. And then, you know, when you stand there, it's something completely different now than what it was. But yeah, it's a really peaceful place. I would love to do that walk. I haven't done that walk, actually, but I'd love to.
Yeah, just do it on your own. Just do it. Get a dog or whatever and just go for a wee stroll along there. You don't need to be in a group where you're getting, you know, just... Sunday, I see a lot of them. I see tour groups. It's not for me that. It's just
no. I know. Me neither.
I just stroll along. It might be able to put my jacket on and just stroll along the beach. I've been lucky when I've been delivering over there. I deliver it to Cherbourg Peninsula and stuff like that. So if I've got time, I'll stroll about. And obviously the Cherbourg Peninsula looks right onto it. So it's it's just an amazing place to go to, and I love walking along that beach.
Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it? And it's quite easy to get to. So you must go quite a lot then, back and forth.
I do, yeah. I have quite a regular. Every Thursday, I'm on my little van and I'm off to Europe. To Cherbourg's my first place, port of call. Love my van up and then I go to, obviously, like to Belgium, Holland and stuff like that. So if I'm in Belgium, I'll always have a little stop at look at Bastogne. I like a little look at Bastogne. And I've been to Saint-Mer at Lees and had a look in there as well, you know.
Gosh.
I've had a wee nosy.
Yeah, you've been around that area, haven't you, quite a bit?
yeah, it's an important part of history, and obviously, I'd say the program was amazing. It caught my eye. It's beautifully written as well,
so,
you know, and it's a great book series, a great TV season. Hopefully, we'll get it back on the TV soon again, which I believe it's going to be on Sky Atlantic again soon, so.
Watch
it again. Julia, what's the most embarrassing thing ever to happen to you, and have you got yourself into a little bit of trouble before?
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you just wait a minute. You come on the podcast, you get the same questions they get.
Oh, no. Wait, I'm going to have to think about this one. Wait, embarrassing moment. Have I gotten myself into trouble? Embarrassing moment. There must be an embarrassing moment like on radio or something or on telly. Oh, I can't think. I should have thought about this before. Embarrassing.
I always ping it away. You see, I build you up, make sure nice and comfortable, and hit you with the hard ones.
Yeah, I know. I see what you've done, Dennis. I can't think of anything. Oh, no. I must have something. Wait, give me a second. Embarrassing.
But another thing. There's another little one I do, and it's called Your Confession. This is your chance to receive redemption from the NMF podcast. If you have been a little naughty over the past and you'd like to confess, then you shall receive your forgiveness.
So
this is a chance. If you've got a little thing sitting there, you're thinking, God, I wish I'd told about that, this is your chance to confess, and I shall decide whether you get forgiveness or not.
Oh gosh, this is another one. You should have sent me these questions before and I would have properly thought about them.
No, because then sometimes people do ask me, oh, you send me the questions. No, because that ruins the podcast. It ruins the interview. I'm not like that. I like to spring it on you, and if you can't give it off anything, if we're a professional, we just move on.
Yeah, right. Okay, redemption. Let me just think. Have I got anything? I'm really bored. I'm not very naughty. I should be more naughty. At school, I mean, I used to get into trouble at school, but that was for like silly things. I'm more cheeky than I am, you know, bad and naughty. So I'm a bit cheeky. I'm a bit more like that. I've got a cheeky character bit to me than more that than naughty, I think.
So you're more likely to be the one that'll kind of instigate a little bit of naughtiness and then sit back in the background and go, what do we do with me? Well, me. Like a little devil hanging on somebody. What do you do now?
In a way, yeah, in a way, but I can't think of it. See, I went to boarding school in Scotland, actually. I went to boarding school.
Oh, yeah. Scotland, did you go to?
Well, it's all coming out now, isn't it, Dennis?
I
went to Strathallan in Perth, and then I went to St. Mary's Music School in Edinburgh.
Wow, yeah. What a school to go to.
I know.
And how was your time there?
St. Mary's was so lovely because it was so small, and we just lived, the school itself was in an old Georgian, an old Georgian house. So it was really small. I think there were only 50 pupils when I was there, so it was lovely. It was like being with a big family, really. But when I was there, yeah, did we sneak out? I'm sure we did, you know, to go to places, yep. Establishments, shall we say.
Call them establishments, too. You sneaked in. You're annoying. So here we go. I'll tell you what. We'll use this as your forgiveness. You used to sneak out and sneak off to establishments instead of being tucked up, you know, reading and practicing and preparing for a busy day the next day. No, you sneaked out. I think we'll forgive you for that.
I could have done worse, I suppose. Yeah.
To stroll the Edinburgh Mile and have a few enjoyable, sociable drinks with your friends, I think we can forgive you for that. Every musician needs a break now and again, don't they?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. With all the practicing, you know, yeah, you can go stir crazy, so you've got to get out.
Absolutely. And do you have any useless talents?
Useless talent.
I've had guys come on here that can do impersonations. We had one chap on who could dislocate his shoulder.
Well, you see, I wouldn't risk doing that because being a violinist, that wouldn't be very wise.
No. Well, he's a guitarist, and I thought you're risking it all there, mate. You know, I'm thinking.
No.
I wanted him to do it on the podcast, and the whole band were egging him on, but he didn't want to do it. So I thought we could get him to pop his shoulder out on the podcast just to hear what it sounds like.
Oh, my goodness. And no, he didn't do it, right?
No. He thought we were all cruel and trying to make him do it. He said, it does hurt, you know.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm sure it does. Oh, no, I wouldn't like that. I think I'm quite good at accents, but my husband's going to cringe when he listens to this because he just laughs at me all the time. But I think I'm quite good at accents. Don't know if that's a talent.
Right then, so let's have one of, let's see, what you like with an Irish accent?
Oh, God, I'm really good with an Irish accent, you know.
You know what? That had me thinking of the court. You sounded like one of the claws there.
Ah, there you go.
That's okay. I'll go with that. Okay, let's hear the Scottish accent, and you just be good because you're up in Edinburgh. This better be good.
Oh yeah, the Scottish accent's brilliant. You know, that wasn't my best.
That's okay. That's very Edinburgh-esque. Yeah, I can. That sounds very posh Edinburgh. Yeah, I'll take that. Wow. Well, gotcha. Let's hear a nice London accent.
A London accent?
Yeah, come on. I don't, mate.
Oh, yeah. Oh, like Cockney accent. Yeah. Cockney. Wait, that's not. No, that wasn't Cockney.
A little bit of this, a little bit of that, innit?
Oh, I see. I'll take that. That was brilliant. Yeah, I'll just leave it to you. Oh, funny. Oh, this game's fun. Right. What other talents do I have?
Yeah.
I'm quite good with DIY, but that's not really anything I can show you.
No, what have you built recently?
Well, I actually during the last year we all got a bit bored, didn't we, because we've been stuck at home. So I built myself a table.
And was this out of reconditioned wood or did you just go to...
Oh, well, again, this was something I made my husband do, but we went to Travis Perkins and then I looked for old crates or, you know, the, what you call them, you know, the things that, like the things that they deliver stuff on, you know, those kind of.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, so I built it out of that. Oh, and I made a little bee house because I thought, bees are so important, so let's do that. So I made that. I quite like making things. Maybe it's the creative side of me, you know.
There you go. So you have more than plenty of talents. You're very talented, multi-talented violinist, and of course DIYist, and you can do accents. What can you possibly ask for?
Oh goodness! What's your talent, Dennis? What are you talented at?
My talent,
apart from interviewing people, because this you're really good at this.
Oh well, I'll take that. That's a compliment.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you know? I've never actually thought about it. I mean, I'm pretty good at accents as well. I can. Yeah, I do need my talent. And obviously, I can do the Northern Ireland accent. You know, where are you from there? But I come from Belfast, don't you know? So yeah. I can do the accents as well. I think I'm all right at accents, but I've travelled a little bit.
Yeah, know? That's really you're. Yeah, I believed that you were all of those.
You know, yeah, I'll do it. I think I've got. There we go. I've done my useless talent as well, so no one can say I haven't done mine. That's my useless talent.
There you go.
I'm okay. doing strange accents. Although I tend to make strange things up. I have a strange imagination. Even at my age, I still have a wild imagination and make strange stories up in my head. And I still write music. So.
Oh, do you write music as well? So you're
I write a bunch of songs and stuff. Yeah, yeah. I never sing. I'm not that deadly. I try not to sing. You know, I wouldn't put that up on anybody. You know, that's just cruel. I think if I was to start singing, I think there would be a law made in the local area. You know? I write some good music. I've been told to write some good lyrics, so that always helps. And obviously, I've been told I do a good podcast, so that always helps.
You do. Yeah, I'm going to check out your other episodes now and listen to
some of them. Be careful what you delve into. This is all. I mean, if you. They go from varied, from wild to normal to extreme. No podcast. Ooh. Well, of course, it's no podcast of mine is the same.
I love that. Oh, I want to go for some wild ones. I'm going to go and delve back into
Arcade Street, just that. Ooh. Well, they were all from Glasgow, you see, also on the same, not neck of woods I was right. from. And it just ended up like, it was as if we were just sitting in the pub having a band. Ended up, anyway, I don't think we talked about music, we just talked about Glasgow and social life. Kevin Brindy, you know, it was I don't think we actually discussed anything. They took control and I thought, all right, let's play this game.
Brilliant. Let's
go with the flow. I'm a professional, let's go with the flow, just keep going. But yeah, Arcade Street was a brilliant one, you know, good laugh.
Oh,
yeah,
fun. Oh, I'll listen to that. Did they kind of ping your questions back at you?
No, they're from Glasgow. They just answered them in complete Glasgow banter, talking about Arlo. We just took it in a whole different place. I'd probably say a lot of folk listened to it hadn't a clue what we were talking about, to be honest.
Yeah. Oh, funny. Yeah. It was like being in a cool gang that you weren't a part of. So you had to...
Yeah. It was like a secret code, I think. And I'm thinking, well, they were just, I think what happened is I suggest that at that time of night, they'd probably had a few drinks and were feeling rather merry and thought, guy, oh, this interviewer guy, we'll have a bit of fun with him. And I was well up for it, so I had no problem. So I could take that on.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, right, I'll tune into that one. Yeah. if everyone that's listening, tune into Arcade. What's
Arcade State, yeah. Listen to Arcade State.
Yeah. Definitely
got it. Well, Julia, it has been an absolute pleasure. I have thoroughly enjoyed talking to you. What I would like you to do is choose one of your own tracks you'd like me to play.
Ooh.
And I will play, if I've got it, I will play, and I've got a wide variety. Pretty much everything you've got on YouTube, I've got, so.
Oh, really? Oh, which one to end with?
I tell you what, I'll play three in a row for you. So whatever one you pick, you pick, and I'll put another two on top of it for you.
Oh, okay. Well, one. Let's do some from the Britpop album because it's doing. I mean, Shed 7 is a favorite, a lot of people's favorite. That and OCS. So I'll leave it to you. One of those two: Shed 7, Chasing Rainbows, or The Day We Caught the Train. One of those.
You'll do Chasing Rainbows because I like that.
Yeah, I know, it's beautiful, isn't it?
It's amazing.
Dennis, thank you so much for this. I really enjoyed it.
No, it was a pleasure talking to you. I'm looking forward to following a lot more of your music and seeing a lot more of you.
Thank you.
I think it's going to be very exciting in the next couple of years. And hopefully I'll get to see you work in a few of the fantastic bands as well.
Yeah, I hope so. Watch this space.
Definitely. I'm Dennis Devlin. This is the NMF podcast in association with BeHadClothing.co.uk. That is the amazing Julia. And this is Shed 7 and Chasing Rainbows.